with me in the rising sun, with me when the day is done. The kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart, never failing in the night. In your presence I will find the kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart, your goodness, your goodness. Everywhere I turn I see your mercy, your mercy chasing after me. More than I could dare to drink, I have tasted, I have seen the kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart. Even in my darkest day, God, your goodness will remain. The kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart, your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me, your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy. Ever before me, ever behind me, every day of my life, ever before me, ever behind me, every day of my life. Your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me. Oh.
Welcome to worship, First Baptist family. We're so glad you're here with us today online and on television. If you're online, join with us in the chat feature. And as we sing, you worship wherever you are in your home. And we're looking forward to a great time of worship, study together. If you're a guest, we hope to meet you soon. Let's enjoy this worship experience this morning. Thank you.
song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Church family, I'm excited to tell you that we are making our plans to come back to live worship together. It's going to be a few weeks from now. We hope on May 31st, we'll be able to start our reduced number live services. And you're going to hear a lot more about that in the days to come. All the guidelines that we're going to need to follow to keep everyone safe and everyone healthy. And we're going to need you to do things like sign up to participate. We're going to ask you to follow certain procedures. We're going to be spacing people out in the room, having multiple services probably throughout the entire week. So we are very excited about that, and we look forward to sharing with you a lot more about it. But tentatively, we are planning for May 31st, and that'll be the day that, Lord willing, we'll come back together. But we'll be making decisions between now and then, watching how things develop, if they improve or deteriorate, and we'll adjust the calendar date based on circumstances at the time. So let's pray toward, look forward to
May 31st, and hope and pray that's the day we can see one another face to face and enjoy a time of worship together. And we want you to be back here. We want people to connect with our church, just as some continue to do so in church membership. I'm excited to share with you today that Rebecca Angel has united with our church family in membership. And Rebecca, we're so glad you are an official part of the church family, as you've already been here for some time, and we've enjoyed getting to know you and having you here. So welcome to Rebecca. Right now, let's go to our time of offering. I'm going to ask you to consider today giving in one of three ways. You can give by mailing a check to the church, you can give online, or you can text to give, and you see those appearing before you right now. If you would take a moment and choose one of those methods to give an offering to the Lord and to the ministry of Thomasville First Baptist Church, we'll trust the Lord to use that in a great way to continue our ministry going forward in these unprecedented times. God has a plan for us, and we look forward to the great things in store that are going to bring Him glory and spread the gospel of Christ throughout our community. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You now for this time to give. Thank You for Your faithful servants who trust in You and give sacrificially week by week. And Lord, thank You for providing everything we need in our lives. Lord, we trust in You. We know that You care for us and love us. So, Father, we give with great joy in our hearts, entrusting to You these gifts to be used for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, all for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flame. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming God. Here I raise my ever. Hither by thy help I come, and I hold by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus, stop me when a stranger, wandering from the fold. From danger, interpose His precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for my heart. Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
I want to invite you to join with me in your copy of God's Word in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to read that verse and then look at some other passages and jump back to it in just a little bit, but I want to begin by reading that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that you give us comfort in times of difficulty. And God, as we think about our own suffering in this life, we pray that we would find your peace that is so abundantly available. I pray for those who are shaken right now, those who are upset or overwhelmed. I pray that you would give them incredible peace and that they would sense your presence and your touch in their lives. And help us now as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thomas A. Kempis was a 15th century German Catholic monk who wrote a well-known book called The Imitation of Christ. And in that writing, Thomas said this: Jesus has many who love his kingdom in heaven, but few who bear his cross. He has many who desire comfort, but few who desire suffering. He finds many willing to share his feast, but few his fasting. All desire to rejoice with him, but few are willing to suffer for his sake. Many follow Jesus for the breaking of bread, but few to the drinking of the cup of his passion. Many admire his miracles, but few follow him in the humiliation of the cross. The New Testament speaks profoundly and often about our need for suffering. And it's very upsetting when we read these passages, but the Bible gives us the assurance that suffering is part, not just of life, but of the Christian experience. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. What Thomas A. Kempis understood, what Paul wrote about, what God teaches us today, is that suffering is a very real part of the Christian journey. Today, I'm a little reluctant to talk about the fear of suffering. We've been talking about fear the past several weeks, and today, as we talk about the fear of suffering, I'm a little reluctant to do so because I become fearful of suffering. It's a topic I'm not real comfortable in discussing because I don't want to suffer. Suffering scares me, and I'm wondering, how will I handle the next round and bout of suffering that comes my way? I want us to try our best today. Together, even when we are afraid of suffering, when we don't want it, when we want it to go away, to understand what God would teach us and how he would help us in our time of need as we deal with suffering. Because suffering is inevitable. It is universal to the human experience. You see, some suffering will be small, some will be severe, some will be emotional suffering, others may experience physical suffering, it might be self-inflicted, it might be something that crushes the innocent, but no one we know is exempt from suffering. Different people have different responses to that suffering. Someone once said, well, the same sun that melts the wax and hardens the clay, the same sun does both. So it is with the suffering that develops in our lives. It helps some people to become stronger people, and it destroys others. How does it affect you in your life? Now, there are many who will tell you about the benefits of suffering, and we're going to talk about some of that today. We often hear people share their testimony, their life story of how bad things came, and God used those experiences to bring about great blessings in their lives. And there are all these stories out there about how people hated suffering at the time, but how it produced the best things in their lives later on. Jesus told us, blessed are those who are persecuted, those who suffer, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. But I want you to imagine for a moment a hypothetical opportunity you receive. You're given 5 minutes, and you are given a narrative, a script of your child's life, and you're also given a magical eraser. And you can go through that script of your child's life and you have 5 minutes to take out whatever you want. The bullying that happens to your kid in elementary school, the terrible auto wreck that happens that leaves the child permanently scarred as a high school student, the struggle and being laid off from a job and having difficulty in a marriage relationship, what things would you erase away, those hard things that your child is going to suffer through? I wonder, would you edit out all of the future pain in your child's life, and would that be a good thing? It may be that the elimination of suffering would be the worst thing that could happen in your child's life. Maybe the elimination of suffering in your life is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. You see, suffering often proves the reality of our faith. I think about when I was a kid, I've mentioned before, growing up in Warner Robins next to Robins Air Force Base, and it was so neat as a child seeing these F-15s just fly through the sky at incredible speed. And back then, there were no restrictions and no prohibition about breaking the sound barrier. And they would repair these F-15s on the base, and then they would take them up for test flights, and they would zoom around and spin around and loop around the skies over Warner Robins. And it was so cool to see that as a kid. You know, the way you find out if something is made the right way, the way you find out if something really works, is to test it. And just like they tested those F-15s in that sky above Warner Robins, God puts your life through those test flights to prove the workability and the reality of your faith through those trials you experience. And those tests make you into a better Christian. It's no fun. We don't want it. We would get rid of it. We would erase it away. But it's that bad stuff that makes your life better. Listen to Paul's writing in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. We also boast in our afflictions because we know that affliction, suffering, produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. What a great promise that God works good stuff out of the bad stuff. And it's not just that. It's the comfort we have today of knowing that God doesn't just put us through the grist mill of life, the fiery furnace of life, but instead He also sympathizes and understands our sufferings. Isaiah 53 is a great passage as it gives that prophecy about Jesus Christ and how He would endure so much because of what we have done. Remember that Old Testament passage in Isaiah 53? It talks about how He was despised. No one wanted to look upon Him. How He bore our iniquities. He was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was on Him, and we are healed by His wounds. Jesus went through all those trials and all that suffering for us. And now, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus sympathizes today with what you're going through. I heard a pastor tell a story about one of his parishioners, a lady named Jan, who suffered from terrible back pain. She had this terrible back pain that would just drop her to her knees in agony. And there seemed to be no relief, no doctor's cures that could be offered, no procedures that would ever work. And she just suffered day after day. And she was in and out of the hospital. And on one occasion, she had gone to the emergency room in incredible pain and suffering so much. And there she was in that ER seeking relief from that chronic misery. And she wrote this about her time there on this particular visit. Listen to what she said. I sat in the bathroom. It was the middle of the night and no people, no miracle medicine, no strength left. I was too tired to fight. I sat there, four walls surrounding me, in a bleak, monotonous bleep from my battery-operated IV filled the silence. I couldn't stop the sound of that miserable machine any more than I could control my own miserable life. So I sat there miserable and in pain and without any hope. It was while I was there that I finally did hear something else. She says, I didn't hear it with my ears, but I heard it with my spirit. I heard someone crying and immediately knew that it was Jesus crying for me. I was shocked, totally surprised. I didn't think he would do that for me. This experience did not leave me emotionally elated, nor did I feel a physical touch. Life was the same, except I now knew I really was not in this battle alone. Jesus cared in a way my wildest imagination would never have hoped for or expected. Today, Jesus sympathizes with your struggle. He understands your suffering. He's been through all of that stuff that you go through. He knows the heartache and the pain, and he cries with you and your struggle. The Lord doesn't just sympathize. He gives us grace through our suffering. I think about Paul, who had that chronic condition that caused him great suffering. He was tormented by it, he said, and Paul actually gave thanks to God because of it. He felt like it was something that kept him humble in life. And he prayed to God on multiple occasions. He says, 3 times I prayed and asked God to take away my suffering, to get rid of this thorn in the flesh that has come upon me. And he cried out to God, much like that lady Jan did there in the hospital. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says, the Lord replied to him, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. What a great promise today to know that even in the bad stuff, even in all the pain and isolation and loneliness and fear and times when we're so overwhelmed, the Lord is with us. He cares for us and he's working powerfully in our lives. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. Today we know that Jesus suffered for us. When we become followers of Jesus, we become united with him. And when we are united with him, the Bible teaches us that we share in his suffering. But there's this interesting and sobering shift in our time today, in our modern day. In the past, among believers around much of the world, and much like many believers today across the world, it was an honor to suffer for Jesus. It was counted as proof that someone was truly a Christian if they got to suffer with Jesus Christ. But by contrast today, isn't it true that many modern American Christians, myself included, often struggle when suffering comes? We struggle with believing and trusting and following after God when difficulties enter in because we want God to stop our suffering and it doesn't go away and we question God. God, why is my life like this? God, why have you not taken my suffering away? But we read these testimonies from Paul and Christians of today who suffer. And yet God shows himself strong and powerful and they find that God is still working. John Wesley, who founded Methodism, he wrote a prayer. And I want you to hear this prayer he wrote. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Would you ever pray that prayer? God, put me to suffering. Bring suffering about in my life. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your disposal. And now, glorious and blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. What a powerful prayer. What a deep and biblical understanding of what following Jesus encompasses. There's so much we can't understand biblically about suffering, but sometimes we don't want to understand it. We don't want to embrace it. We face problems and pain that from an earthly perspective, make absolutely no sense whatsoever. There's no obvious reason. Good people suffer, bad people don't, and we yearn for an explanation, and yet we come to times when we never find one. I think about the experience of Job in the Old Testament. You know his story, right? The most righteous man of his generation. There were a lot of people in his time that should have suffered. A lot of people in his time who should have experienced bad things, but it would be hard to argue that Job needed to. He was a righteous man who stood for the things of God. He loved the Lord and he served him. And yet we read in Job's life that his children died. His wife turned against him. His friends criticized him. His body was tortured with sickness. He lost it all. And you read that story and you discover that there was a grand spiritual battle being waged with the forces of good and evil, and that Job's life was the battlefield. And we know that from that story, Job didn't know. There's no hint in the biography of Job's life that he ever came to understand why he suffered. He apparently, from his vantage point, suffered for no reason whatsoever, but yet he trusted God. Today, you may be suffering and it seems like there's no apparent reason. What good is there in your experience? Why you're going through what you're going through? Why? Why does this even need to happen to you in your life? Yet God has his reasons. God is doing his work. Let's go back to that opening verse I shared from the last book of the Bible. There we find the suffering of the people in a city called Smyrna. It was an ancient Asian city. It was in the area of Turkey in a town called Izmir, what is modern day Izmir. It was a beautiful valley town, a natural protected seaport, and it was an ancient city that was fiercely loyal to the Roman Empire. With that was a large Jewish population. Many of these people in that town were against the arrival of Christianity. Christianity was taking root, people were becoming followers of Jesus Christ, and it was met with great animosity. There was a lot of pagan worship there, of course. They were dedicated to the Roman gods, and these Christian people would not acknowledge the Roman gods. They were called atheists by the Romans because they denied the existence of the Roman gods, claiming belief in the one true God. Now, Revelation was written to that environment near the end of the first century, and Jesus sends a specific message to the Christians there. Listen to that verse and some of the surrounding verses. Jesus says, write to the angel, the church in Smyrna. Thus says the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Did you hear that phrase, that sentence in there? Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. How could that even be possible? Let me tell you a little bit about what happened in the early history of Smyrna. If we look ahead about a half century from the time which this was written to February 23rd, AD 155, the city was crowded together for the gathering of these ancient games that were much like the Olympics. But the crowd switched from sports to anti-Christian persecution. And they shouted this in the crowd, "Away with the atheist!" Remember, they denied the Roman gods. They were called atheists. Away with these Christians. Away with these atheists. Let Polycarp, who was a church leader, be searched for. Find Polycarp, this leader of these atheists. Well, the proconsul arrested Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna. He was an older man at the time, and the officer who arrested him pleaded with him and said, "What harm is it to just say Caesar is Lord? Why are you going to go to your death because you simply won't utter a phrase, if you offer that comment, you can be saved. In the arena, the proconsul had a moment of sympathy and called on Polycarp to curse Christ and live. And Polycarp answered this way, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The proconsul ordered that Polycarp, because of his refusal to deny Christ, that he be burned alive at the stake. Polycarp made an unusual request. He said he did not want to be bound, that he was willing to suffer and die for his Savior. The crowd gathered the wood together. Polycarp was put to that death sentence, but Polycarp prayed as that fire was lit, and he died as a martyr for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. You will suffer persecution. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." I don't know exactly how that works and how one could be so brave and courageous, trust so much in the face of persecution and martyrdom. I don't know how someone could press through all that difficulty. All I can do is believe that Jesus says we don't have to be afraid when we come up against the worst of situations. When our circumstances are dire, when things are really tough in life, when pandemics spread and economies collapse and rumors of food shortages and all the crazy stuff that scares us to death. Now they're talking about murder hornets. And I saw in the news that there are these invasive species of lizards coming into Georgia that are 5 feet long. I'm going to be terrified. I'm going to fall over dead if I see a 5 foot long lizard coming toward me in the woods. These are frightening things we hear about. And then we have all the personal mess we go through, right? You know your struggles. You've got all that stuff on your shoulders right now. And God promises, somehow supernaturally, He will give you the grace, the strength to press through your fear, to endure your suffering, to make it to the other side. Somehow, some way, He will carry you through all the way to receiving the crown of life. Now, briefly, let me say how we can respond to suffering. Several things I want to tell you to do in the meantime. How do you get through that suffering? First of all, pursue God. Whether you're going through suffering or suffering's coming, don't let it shake your relationship with God, but keep pursuing Him. Keep driving forward in your faith, and don't drift away from God. Then rely on God. So easy to trust in God when times are good, right? So easy to just get used to the idea of coming to church on a Sunday because that's what we've always done until we can't do that any longer, at least for a season. It can be difficult to follow God in the hard times, but keep relying on Him. When life gets hard, when poverty prevails, when relationships are shattered, when health is broken, when suffering is real, keep relying on God. Next, be reasonable. Pray and trust God. But also take some Tylenol. In other words, take care of the things you need to take care of. Some of you are perhaps dealing with some mental struggles right now, some emotional struggles, because of all that you've been through with this kind of lockdown and self-isolation. Talk to someone. See a doctor. Get the medication you need. Do the things you need to do. Get some counseling. Trust God and pray, but be reasonable and take advantage of all the resources that God has given to you to help you. Be long-suffering. This is important because that's really hard to do when life gets like it is right now. C.S. Lewis once talked about how our lives are like houses. God comes in to rebuild our lives. At first, He changes burned-out light bulbs, patches leaks in the roof, or unplugs stopped up drains. It all makes perfect sense. But then He starts knocking down walls, adding courtyards, and building additions. We thought that God was there to fix up our little cottage, but we realize that he's actually turning it into a palace where he plans to come and live in it as his home. In other words, just understand God's doing some work in you. God's always transforming you, and he takes all that bad stuff, as we read about earlier from Romans, and he uses that to produce endurance and character to prove your faith true and to get you to a better place of faith and relationship with him. So be patient. Don't lose heart. Times are really difficult right now. Maybe you're suffering in a variety of ways. Be patient. Persevere. Press through. And then let me say, be faithful. Do right even when others aren't. Believe in God even when he doesn't answer your prayers the way you want him to. And trust him even when you can't understand what is going on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, and I close. So then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good. You keep pressing forward. Keep trusting in God, and God is going to do amazing things. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for our time together, finding encouragement in the Scriptures. Lord, it's no fun to go through suffering. We want hard times to go away and for good times to be our experience. But Lord, we do not know what is best for our lives. You are the one with all wisdom and knowledge. Your will is the perfect plan for our lives. So Lord, we ask for your help now. We pray, Father, that you would help us in our struggles. Give us strength in our suffering and help us to trust in you and find that there is abundant peace and help in our time of need. Father, we entrust our lives to you. We pray that you would work in our lives in the days ahead. We pray for our community, for our world today, that people in the midst of all the chaos would turn to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those who are listening now who may not know Jesus Christ. I pray that they would commit their lives to him right here and right now, believing that Jesus died for their sins, that he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. So God, we give our lives over to you and trust in you in these times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening today. It's always an honor to share God's word, and I look forward to very soon when we can share that experience together in this room. God bless you. You have a great week.
Thank you so much for joining with us today in worship. We hope that you'll stay connected with us through our various social media platforms. We'll be sending out updates throughout the week, so we hope that you'll be checking those. We also hope that you'll stay connected to each other. If you have a specific need, we hope that you'll let your deacon, your life group leader, one of our staff members know. We would love to know how we can best serve you during this time. We also hope that as other church members come to mind this week, that you will take time to call someone, let them know that you're thinking of them and praying for them. Take care, and we hope you have a wonderful week.